Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
Well, good morning again. Can we just close our eyes for a moment and invite the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, you are so rich in this house, and we welcome you. Lord, it's hard to even know what to say about how great you are. But I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would make my words your words and that I would hear you clearly. Holy Spirit, fall in this place and let understanding come of who you really are and what you mean to us. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Talking about the Holy Spirit is a vast topic. And we took it as a course in the School of Ministry many years ago now. But as I sat there and I looked at the notes from the course, I thought, I can't use that. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to say? So I believe the Holy Spirit really led me on this because there's a moving of the Holy Spirit all over the earth. The presence, His presence, is increasing continuously. And even Friday night here, it was stronger than it's been. In the prayer room on Sunday mornings, it's powerful. I just spoke to a friend of mine. She called me and she said, what's happening at your church? And we were sharing. She said, we have never, ever had the experience we had last Sunday morning. This is in St. Thomas. She said, all of a sudden, it's like heaven opened, the anointing dropped, and people began running to the altar on their faces. So it's happening everywhere. So the Holy Spirit is brooding all over the earth. We have Asbury, Kentucky, where it is touching the university there, or the college, I'm not sure. I think it's a university. People are coming from all over, and they're just hungry. They're wanting what is there. Standing in line, they talk about the peace that they're feeling. So the Holy Spirit's coming in the opposite spirit of what's on the world. He always does that. And so there's peace, even when they're standing in line in the early hours of the morning to try and get into the buildings that they're using, to the point where they had to say, this is for students, and our services, our classes have to go on. But I remember Toronto when it began to fall. You stood in line a long time when it initially happened, and you didn't mind because you wanted to get in there because there was such a presence of the Holy Spirit. This anointing is meant for all of us. And this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about who He really is. He's amazing. He's wonderful. And I think we need to just grab a hold of this amazing man. Not man. Not sure. God. Spirit. Jesus was man. That's available to us. John the Baptist spoke in Matthew 3:11, and he said, He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that became God's goal for mankind. We think it was just salvation, but it wasn't just salvation. Salvation is the beginning where mankind accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they get saved, and they have a living relationship. But the Holy Spirit was sent to fill us and empower us and move through us so that one person, Jesus Christ, what he did will now be done through a many-membered body. Without the Holy Spirit, that could never have happened. All the fullness of the Godhead was meant to come into you and I, Ephesians 3:19. So we're, as far as I'm concerned, and this is my personal opinion, we're walking far below where we're called to walk. Far below. And I want to get where I'm supposed to be. And I want you to get where we're supposed to be. Amen? Just think about this for a moment. All of the universe rests in God's hands. The whole universe. And the galaxies upon galaxies, whatever's out there, it's all in God's hands. Right? That God dwells within you and I. He does. Perfect timing. Yay, Pastor Rod. Pastor Rod, as Jay said, was preaching upstairs to the Haitian church in Cape Haitian. Claude and I were able to greet them and see them. It was so exciting to see our brothers and sisters. And I'm wanting to hear what all happened. When Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, he said to his disciples, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power of heaven." Okay, so the Holy Spirit's coming to fill them with the power of heaven. The power that is in us is no small thing. Come on, hear me. It's no small thing. It's the power of heaven that's inside of us. When he was getting ready to ascend to heaven, he says to them again, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. It wasn't just, well, if you want to, if you feel like it. He commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then in Acts 2, we read the account of the Pentecost. And it's spoken about in Joel 2, 28 to 29. And look it up. I'm not going to read all these scriptures because it will be too long, but it was all prophesied that it would happen. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." So they're in unity and they're in one place. They've just spent 10 days praying. Prayer is increasing tremendously in this hour because it's the key to what God is doing. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." When we read the scripture, we read it with the natural mind. But when this happened, the God of this age was bound, and the light of God, or the light of Christ, pierced through the spiritual darkness over Jerusalem. It was dark. It was dark. They had just crucified the Son of God. Evil had taken preeminence, and all of a sudden, the heaven opens, and the Spirit of Christ pierces through that darkness and comes to a yielded group of people. The sound, or the roar, release the atmosphere from heaven and the until the powers of darkness gave way to the glory of heaven. And it came into that whole room and then into that whole area and into the city of Jerusalem. The heavens opened and the atmosphere shifted. The glory of the Lord rested on each of them in the form of tongues of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to pray in the diverse tongues. The sound shifted the atmosphere over Jerusalem, and 3,000 people were ushered into the kingdom in one day. That couldn't have happened without heaven opening. And the atmosphere shifting and heaven coming down would not have happened. They left the upper room with that sound or the glory that shifted the atmosphere. And now they began to release the glory wherever they went, bringing healing, deliverance, restoration, salvation, a provision, everything that was needed. We have the accounts of the shadow of Peter healing people in Acts 5:15. People laid the sick in the streets, hoping that Peter's shadow would fall on them and they would be healed. But it wasn't Peter's shadow that brought the healing. It was the Holy Spirit overshadowing Peter and his presence that brought the miracles. So when we walk out of our homes, if we've had no time with the Lord in the day, what's overshadowing us? Is it the turmoil that we've left our home with? The discord, the strife, the anger, the frustration, the fear? The hopelessness, that's not going to heal anybody. But if we've been in the glory and we've had the Holy Spirit come on us and we walk out with the glory and the Lord begins to move over us and say, talk to that one, say hi to that one, hug that one, just encourage that one, that teller at the where you're walking up to put your groceries on the till, just minister to that one with a smile. God bless you. How is your day going? And the glory of the Lord falls. And if the door is open, that person's ready, they come into the kingdom. God will make sure nobody else comes to that till. Amen? When the Holy Spirit's on us and in us, it's tangible. In revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit brings an invasion of the presence of the Lord and his kingdom, which displaces spiritual darkness. We wonder, what's the big deal? Why do we need revival? Because there's so much darkness right now. And people are crying out for an answer. The Lord is the only answer to what's happening. Amen? We could be riddled with fear every day if we watch the news. But God is on the move. God is on the move, and what he's doing is incredible as you hear reports starting to come. And I just say, Lord, here we are. We're ready. We want you. We're hungry. Amen? That's why people flock to places where the Holy Spirit's moving. They want hope. They want an answer. They want peace. They want the Lord. Just think a little bit about this incredible person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who was involved with the formation of the earth and the creation of you and I. He's the same Spirit who rushed into the upper room. He came in at Pentecost with a cyclone and a rushing mighty wind, Acts 2:2. But he comes like rivers of living water, John 3:8. And he wants to pour into each one of us and through us into the world. This incredible person, this beautiful person, this powerful person who tore the heavens open, came down to earth, and he now dwells in each of us as we invite him. And as we invite him daily, he increases. And as we invite him for more, to have power to speak, he increases. He can't wait to provide us with what we need. He's waiting to give it to us. But we need to ask. And often we're oblivious to him because we know Father and we know Jesus. And we somewhat know the Holy Spirit because we read about him. But who is he really? He's the Spirit of Christ. When Jesus gave up the ghost, it says, when he cried, "It's finished," that is the Spirit of Christ that would be poured out on you and I. It's amazing. He now comes to us, church, with the eternal weight of glory that needs to be poured on us. 2 Corinthians 4:17. We are filled with his glory. We have to release it everywhere we go, and it will explode. The Holy Spirit is allowed to be who he's called to be through us, and that is Lord. When we say, "You're Lord of my life," it's really the Holy Spirit. The word Lord is Kairos. Lord. Sometimes all this gets extremely confusing for us. But when the Holy Spirit is allowed to be Lord and he comes in, freedom comes. Liberty comes. And one of the places I studied church history to get my doctorate, and it's amazing when you read the ebb and flow throughout church history and what women are allowed to do and not allowed to do, and when that is. When there's a move of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit begins to move powerfully, women are allowed to function. Amen? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's just flowing, and it's okay because freedom comes, and the darkness and legalism and religion gets pushed back. And when the Holy Spirit lifts, it goes back into religion, and women are shut down. And they can't function, and only half of the body of Christ is functioning because women can't do anything. And so when we sing about freedom coming and the move of the Spirit increasing, it's crucial. Pastor Claude, in his greeting to the Haitians, addressed the women. And he said to them, "You're powerful. You're leaders. You might be quiet, but you're leaders." He said, "I've seen them." I'm probably going to misquote you a little bit, maybe, Claude, but the gist. He encouraged them to begin to pray. And he talked about the women in Liberia who actually brought an end to the war in Liberia. And you can look that up on the internet. And it was through prayer. They refused to move. They got into the city squares. They put their hands together. They refused to move. They sat there. They did not cook. They did not clean. They were not intimate with their husbands. They refused to do anything but pray until the back of that rebellious spirit was broken in their nation, and it was broken. It broke the back of a war that was killing all their children. And he said, God's got answers in Haiti, how to stop what's happening in Haiti. And he encouraged the women to get going and hear from God what needed to be done. In a time when the Holy Spirit is moving, that can be done. And it's amazing. Amen? But God can do that through us here in prayer. The same way. That's why we keep inviting you to come. Because it's so crucial that we move all the darkness and the mountains that keep trying to stop God from moving. God's got to come to Essex County. Amen? We need him desperately. He's the supreme authority of the church, the Holy Spirit. We must come to understand who the Spirit is. He's a person with feelings and emotions. He is a person that loves us as the Father and Son have loved us. The early church knew how to honor him and work with him. John Bevere makes this statement. This is a quote. There is virtually no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Christianity is dry, monotonous, and mundane. Without the Holy Spirit, our labor is draining and wearisome. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no fellowship with God. When we remove the Holy Spirit from the church, it will become a social club, or it will become a religious institution. We need the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 to 18, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. When Jesus says the Father will give us another helper, he's using the word allos. So he's saying the Father is going to give you another helper who's just like me. Just like me. In other words, Jesus is saying that he and the Holy Spirit are the same thing. When he uses the word helper, which is parakletos, Jesus is Jesus is referred to as the paraclete in 1 John 2:1. My little children, we have an advocate, a paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So they're one and the same thing. So we have to understand this is crucial to grasp. When we put these two words together, we get a much better understanding of what Jesus is communicating. He's saying that the Holy Spirit is permanently called alongside of each of us to provide coaching, direction, instruction, and counsel in our journey of life. This is his calling, and he continuously journeys with us to help us, give us vision, give us direction, and bring us correction. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come abide with us forever. We're not alone. You know, when we start thinking we're alone in this journey, somebody's lying. And we need to get wise and boot that somebody out. Because we are never alone. There's one with us always, and that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. The paraclete will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He is the most amazing, wonderful person we'll ever know. The Father's not here on earth. Jesus is not here on earth with us. You know, people will say, oh, Jesus is living in my heart. It's the Holy Spirit that's living in your heart. He is Lord. He's the Spirit of Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come in. But the Holy Spirit is the power that we receive. He's the endowment. He's the very life of Jesus Christ that comes to indwell us. I say Jesus is not here on earth because the scripture says in Acts 7:55, 56, but Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is seated on the throne in heaven. But he sent His very spirit to indwell us. He's Lord. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's the first person that shows up during the account of creation. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There was massive chaos, massive confusion. But when the Holy Spirit began to hover and the Father spoke and the Son, all three of them functioned together in that moment, everything was brought to peace and creation was formed. And then we were formed through the work of the Holy Spirit. So when we have chaos in our lives, or there's a chaotic situation that happens, there's turmoil that comes, we have to invite the Holy Spirit to come brood over our lives, over that situation, to bring order. Amen? I find most days now I spend a lot of time in the morning, sometimes during the night, in my office, at home, inviting the Holy Spirit to come. Because there's also confusion that will come, and there's this harmony that will come because of the season of life of Jack. He's more vulnerable to the enemy. You know, when we're able to shut all that down and push all that back, because we have the strength to be able to do that, I have to do it for him now. And sometimes I'll contact a few people and I'll say, please pray. This is not a good day. Because there's a lot of confusion that hits. And so I have to push back the chaos. And so then things settle back down. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm recognizing in this season how much I need him to guide me every step of the way. And he does direct and show what I need to do. I'm going to cut some of this because there's a section I want to go to. Jesus functioned completely in the Holy Spirit after he was baptized. He didn't do anything on his own, right? Didn't speak on his own, didn't move into miracles on his own. Inviting feast at Canaan, he responded to his mother, but he was in communion. And if you're watching the Chosen series, it's really interesting to watch how he looks at the situation, but then he looks at heaven. And he's praying, and then he opens the ears of the eyes of the person, or he raises them up. He was in constant communication, and he spent nights in the presence of the Father communicating with him. There was a constant communion between them. Was the early church like that? I believe they were. You see, the early church learned not to function without the Holy Spirit. Didn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And yet we do so much without him. And I think that's shifting in our lives. Acts 5:3, we have the account with Ananias and Sapphira. It says, Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? That is the account. That's that account. It's not, you're not lying to me. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. How has he been able to deceive you like that? How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? It says in Acts 5:9. We are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51. When Stephen is talking to the Sanhedrin before he's stoned, he says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51. It wasn't them he was resisting. It was the Holy Spirit in Stephen they were resisting because he was speaking with such wisdom. Acts 11:12, Peter is wrestling with the sheet that came down from heaven and wondering what that's all about. Then he says, the Spirit told me to go with them. He didn't go until he heard. The Holy Spirit told him to go. Acts 13:2 and 4, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. People were put in position after the Holy Spirit spoke, not just because they gave the most money in the church, or they were an important figurehead in the community. None of that. It was, this is what the Holy Spirit says, and this is what we're doing. Acts 13:4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they, meaning Barnabas and Paul, went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Acts 16:6, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Are they being led by the Holy Spirit? Come on. The book of Acts is filled with accounts of what they did and how the Holy Spirit led them. Yet we try, probably in our Western culture, to do a whole lot without them. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Acts 16:7. Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified. Acts 18:5. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Acts 19:2. And I want to give this in a full account. It's in Acts 8:26. Do you remember the time where the widows, the Grecian widows, weren't being fed, and so they set aside the men that would become deacons, and they laid hands on them and they sent them out? They weren't just ordinary men. And they didn't just wait on tables like we like to think. Philip was one of those men. And we see an account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And as you read that account, you realize the first person to speak to Philip is an angel, telling him to leave Samaria and go to the desert. Now, whether you and I realize it or not, there was an amazing revival going on in Samaria. And the angel says, Philip, I need you elsewhere. Leave this revival. And he sent him into the desert. Most of us would think, that can't be God, right? There's a revival going on. This is where I have to be. No, the Holy Spirit had another plan. Philip obediently follows. Then it is the Holy Spirit that speaks to him and gives him clear direction. Once Philip was in the desert, the Holy Spirit said, overtake this chariot. Acts 8:29. Why was this encounter so crucial and so significant? The gentleman in the chariot was third in command over all of Ethiopia. You talk about nations, wanting to touch nations. This was the third highest office. Because of his authority and influence, the Ethiopian's salvation was the beginning of the gospel's advancement in his nation. If Philip had not been sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice and leading, he would have missed a great opportunity for ministry that turned a nation around. It's amazing. They were so led. We said, well, that's them. No, same Holy Spirit's in us. We have to develop the hearing ear. He was so in tune that he could tell the difference between an angel and the Holy Spirit. That's being in tune. It's through this man that many signs, wonders, and miracles were done. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This communion is koinonia, and it's a fellowship, an intimacy, a relationship, a talking back and forth. You know, husband and wife commune. There's a oneness between them. After a while, when you're married many years, you can finish each other's sentences. You know what they're thinking because you've been in communion with them so much. That's the oneness that comes with longevity. But the Holy Spirit wants to have the same communion with you and I. And the early church had that communion, that koinonia. And God's trying to restore that to us. It means fellowship, companionship, communication, intimacy. How many times do you hear that word in here? Intimacy with the Lord. Sharing together, those are just a few. So the early church was directed by the Holy Spirit, and they became witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. If we could just grasp who it is that dwells within us. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to come to God, the Holy Spirit. It's the best invitation we've ever received. In closing, there's so much more for us. This is out of the Phillips translation, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has, through his Spirit, let us share his secret. For nothing is hidden from the Spirit, not even the deep wisdom of God. And at one point, Jesus says, everything my Father has been given to me. And Jesus says, everything that has been given to me, I give to you by the Holy Spirit. True friendship with the Holy Spirit is priceless. His presence and power provide everlasting satisfaction that is unsurpassing by anything. This is a quote from Derek Prince, and I'm closing with this. He's ministering in Africa, and he's wondering how he can talk to them about the Holy Spirit. I want you all to know that God has a wonderful storehouse. You have no idea how big the storehouse is, and it contains everything you will ever need. There's nothing you will ever need that isn't in that storehouse. But the storehouse has a keeper, a person who is in charge of the storehouse. You can't get anything out of the storehouse unless you make friends with the storehouse keeper. The keeper of the storehouse is the Holy Spirit. He is in charge of all the treasures of the Godhead. Let me show you that in John 16, 14 to 15, Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit who will do this for his disciples. And he says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it or reveal it, or unfold it to you. And then he goes on, all things that the Father has are mine. There I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Notice, everything that the Father has, he has imparted to the Son. And everything the Father and the Son have is under the charge of the Holy Spirit. The only one who can part it and reveal it is the Holy Spirit. He is the keeper of the storehouse. And so in closing, I want to invite you to stand. I just want to pray for all of you, for the more. Would you just raise your hands? Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. We need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and once again fill us to overflowing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our lives, and we want you. Holy Spirit, I pray you fall on your family that's come from Ukraine. Fall on them so powerfully, and they can ask Sean questions. Holy Spirit, change their lives. Cause them to become such a close family. Such a close family. In a safe country, that they become bonded like they've never been. Lord, fall on them powerfully. Heal their trauma. Heal their pain. Heal their suffering, Lord. Holy Spirit, just fall. Just fall in this place. Fall in this place, Holy Spirit. Each of us, we just need you more. And I pray for a hunger to come, that we would pursue you with everything that is in us. Because you're the keeper of the storehouse, but everything in that storehouse, you want to give to us so we can give it away to those who have need of it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.